You steal a secret of zombie takeout, and here you are trysting with a bubble-headed co-ed? Welcome to episode 120 of
Zombie Takeout,
the B-Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, just a quick announcement. I think I found, well, I have found a new Flash player for the site, so hopefully, I think this will fix the cutting off the first few seconds issue we've been having with the archive.org player.
Huzzah!
Yes. So, on to some listeners submitted. This is from Movie Viewer Man, from our site, in reference to Yellowbeard. He said, guys, thanks so much for the mention. I was not expecting that. As for listening to the episode first, I did do that. I knew you take some jabs at the movie, but you also praise it at times, and in the end gave it a 3.5 and 4 brains out of 5. That's 7.5 brains out of 10, which is a pretty solid score in my books.
Hell yeah.
Yes, it's true, I probably liked it more than you did, but part of the reason I embedded your podcast into the episode was to give my readers a more unbiased view. Good choice there. Also, the podcast is just entertaining. Thank you.
Awesome.
I had your podcast bookmarked for a while, but only recently got around to listening to it, and it is now among my favorites, so keep them coming.
Ooh, I mean, and as you can see, you've got a lot of catching up to
yes.
do, because...
He finishes with, by the way, I hated Black Swan also. Glad to know I'm not alone in that one. And this is an email we got from William Hewling. He says, Dear Zombie Takeout Blokes, first off, I would like to thank you for taking my recommendation. I'm very biased when it comes to this film, but it is the sole reason I became seriously interested in the offerings of B-movies after catching it one night on trashy Russian TV in Moscow. One slight bone to pick. My last name, Hewling, is pronounced with a long U, as in Hewling, H-U-G-H. Not the short U you've used twice in your program to date. Perhaps if I weren't an English teacher, I wouldn't point out that the single L in Hewling indicates a long U, whereas the double L in Hulling, as I've been pronouncing it, would indicate a short U. As for the film, it's an overacted masterpiece. I will admit that the main character is a putz in his love interests, and his love interest is even worse. If that's possible, but that Jeffrey Combs' performance as the eminently disturbing Dr. West more than makes up for the shortcomings. Combs is just awesome, and in the full Shakespearean meaning of the word. If I look forward to your review of the film whenever it may come. Sincerely, William Hewling. First off, the review, well, you're listening to it or will be listening to it shortly.
Right. When will then be now?
Soon. And with regard to the name, I apologize for the mispronunciation. Thing is, I'm a bit dyslexic, which is why I stumbled through that email and tend to stumble through the news and anything I have to read verbatim. Sorry about that. I promise I will pronounce your name correctly from now on.
And as a former English teacher myself, you should just be thankful that I am sober here.
All right, on to some news.
All right.
This one... not so much news, something I just wanted to mention on the show for those who don't make it to the Facebook page. I posted this, I think, yesterday or the day before. Troma has put a selection of their movies up on YouTube in full. All their big
ones.
What
is going on? YouTube used to be this heavily watered-down, censored thing, and now
Troma's
this is on it?
Troma's are up there officially. I think a lot of the stuff isn't. But Troma's stuff is up there officially. They've got all four Toxie movies, Kabuki Man would have saved us some effort a while back, Nukem High 1 and 2, all their well-known ones, and it's youtube.com/Troma Movies.
I'm not even talking copyright. YouTube used to heavily censor any content on it,
This is true. They used to have a real strict no nudity, no language policy.
Right.
Yeah. And obviously if Troma's up there.
Yes.
That's been done away with a bit. I think that probably happened when they started the video on demand service and realized that, you know, R-rated movies will, you know, sell.
Well, once this movie being got there, I really think, well, why are we watching this movie on YouTube? Because it's going to be heavily censored, but uncut. You can even find like a bonus scene somewhere.
There are several deleted scenes I found on there.
Yeah, I found like the alternative ending, which we'll of course get to.
Okay, because I didn't see that one. Interesting.
Yeah.
Next story. This is from. Actually, these next two are from IO9's Morning Spoilers column from yesterday and today. One's an update of the first. Kick-Ass 2 will be ha apparently happening soon. Comic artist John Romita Jr. suggests a sequel is really happening, and in the surprisingly near future. He reportedly said the deals are in place, and filming could happen as soon as this summer for a May 2013 release. That doesn't really seem to fit with what everyone else has been saying, and it would also call Hit Girl actress Chloe Moretz's availability into question, as she will be busy shooting the Carrie reboot. So I might want to take this with a huge grain of salt. Today there was an update. Universal is said to be close to signing Crywolf director Jeff Madlow to direct the sequel, working from his own screenplay. This is reportedly being done with the full support of original director Matthew Vaughn, who wants to work on the X-Men First Class series. He's gone from, how should I put this, the lower echelon of superheroes to the big leagues, I guess. With original stars Aaron Johnson, Chloe Moretz, and Christopher Mintz-Plasse, will soon enter negotiations to return for the film. Oh, again, filming this summer, hopefully some for a early 2013 release. So definitely looking forward to that one.
Can it possibly live up? I'm trying to remember what we said for our sequels and remakes section of that movie, but it's
I think
I
we were
don't.
saying don't bother.
Yeah, you really
Although
can't live up.
the comic has a sequel, and I think I may have mentioned at the time because I'm pretty sure I was aware of it when we reviewed it.
Probably, but you can't really live up to that. It's possible.
And they don't have to bring back, well, they definitely won't be bringing back Cage, so he won't have to sully his brilliant performance in the original.
Well, he's got like another 5, 6 years before
Well,
he can be in another good movie.
I thought it was like 10 or 20.
Was it that long?
I
I
think it's
thought
at
he.
least 10.
Oh, maybe you're right.
Because isn't it like every 20 years?
If I'm going to come up with some sort of bit like that, I really should remember the amount of years it was between. Yeah, well.
And this final
Just be
story.
lucky, thankful I'm sober. That's all I'm saying.
This final story is actually one I found earlier tonight. I actually had to swap out another story about a Stretch Armstrong movie, but it was worth it for this. Working Title and Edgar Wright plan a September start for The World's End. Working Title and Edgar Wright have set a September start date for The World's End, the last in a trilogy of comedies that started with Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz.
Oh, the Blood and Ice Cream trilogy.
Wright, who will direct, wrote the script with Simon Pegg, and once again, Pegg stars with Nick Frost. Universal Pictures hasn't greenlit the film yet,
Why not?
but is expected to after the modestly budgeted pair of comedies grossed 108 million worldwide between them. The plan is for The World's End to reach theaters in spring of 2013. We're a year away. The
Why
logline. This
won't
is.
they get a green light? What?
Well,
What
this is
will
where it
keep
gets
them?
interesting. We have a
Okay.
plot summary.
All right.
The logline. 20 years after attempting an epic pub crawl, five childhood friends reunite when one of them becomes hell-bent on trying the drinking marathon again. They're convinced to stage an encore by mate Gary King, a 40-year-old man trapped at the cigarette end of his teens, who drags his reluctant pals to their hometown and once again attempts to reach the fabled pub, The World's End. As they attempt to reconcile the past and present, they realize the real struggle is for the future, not just theirs, but humankind's. Reaching the world's end is the least of their worries. So they're going to be on a pub crawl, and they're going to face some kind of world-ending danger while drinking heavily.
I zombies, of course, right?
Well, we don't know. He's done zombies.
It's true.
He did a cult effectively in
Hot
Hot
fuzz.
Fuzz, thank you. So we don't know what this one's going to be. Could be the forces of darkness, could be aliens. Either way, I want to see Simon Pegg and Nick Frost fighting the forces, some evil force, while drinking heavily. That's going to be genius. And so, on to this week's movie, which is from 1985, Reanimator, and the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by the other Hans Gruber.
Oh, like the one from Die Hard with, Bruce Willis and,
No,
the
the other
kid.
one.
Oh, okay. All right. So, wow, I'm kind of out of practice with this, I think.
It's
But
been a
let's
couple of
see.
weeks.
We'll give this a try here. We have the young, well, it begins with a scene in, of course, Switzerland, where
Of course.
it's a Dr. Frankenstein thing going on with the mad scientist playing around with the reanimation of dead tissue, and the experiment, of course, goes awry. He
Because it's only the
dies.
beginning of the movie.
Right, it's only the beginning of the movie, and they did not cast this part for to be a big part. They paid him a little bit of money, so he only did the one scene where he dies,
Laid there in a little bit of latex.
and then hilarity ensues. No, just kidding.
Yeah.
Well, we have his assistant Herbert West, who is being pulled away by police officers who got there really quickly too, and there's trouble, I might add. But anyway, he's trying to of course put to use the data from the experiment that went awry that killed his the doctor that he's assisting. And I don't know if he actually got the data or not, but then he comes to America after this, and there's this earnest medical student who's just kind of trying to find his way through med school, and he's dating the dean's daughter, and they wind up having their lives turned upside down, well, almost quite literally, when Herbert shows up at their place, and
At a
he,
very inopportune moment.
at a very inopportune moment, and starts conducting experiments. Well, first on his cat, and then on other corpses at the university. He, of course, develops his reanimation solution, I guess you'd call it.
Serum.
Serum, yes. He develops that, and then it works. What can you say? Despite it having some very violent side effects that they don't seem to note. It's just kind of attributed to how they died. Oh well, yeah, they're violent. And so
Well, it wouldn't be much of a horror film if they just, went, they acted perfectly normal when they were woken from the dead.
well, then you also get into the whole biology of it, of if your heart goes and you revive the brain, you still have a bad heart.
Yeah, good point.
You still have a heart that
We're
doesn't talk.
not going to nitpick the science.
Because then again,
I have a few notes, but mostly as a joke. I don't really plan to nitpick this one.
well, when hilarity really does ensue, it does get very silly towards the end. You almost expect Graham Chapman to walk out to like end it when one's walking around without a head and stuff, and we need Yellowbeard to come back here and tell us that it's too silly because hilarity ensued.
Yes. Now, the interesting thing about this one for me, I was 12, 13 when this hit theaters.
Yeah, I was
The
wondering if you'd seen this before.
No, I hadn't.
Oh, okay.
And a big part of that was because when I was 12 or 13 and started seeing ads on TV for it, they scared the fuck out of me.
I don't recall ever seeing ads for this movie, tell you the truth.
Now, 30 years, almost 30 years later, it's funny. And I don't know if that's me getting older or just the effects getting dated or what.
I think the only time I'd ever heard about this was just, in the movie listings of stuff on cable, and it just never being on the cable that I happened to subscribe to or my parents subscribed to back in the day. So, and for some reason, we just didn't pick this for our usual B movie romp, that we would do when we were kids. So I just it just missed me somehow. I don't know.
Like I said, the commercial scared me, pretty much scarred me for life as a kid. I was actually a little afraid of going into it until I got the movie and kind of skimmed through it and realized it's a really funny, cheesy B
Yeah.
horror movie. Did you notice something interesting about the opening music?
I noticed some of the soundtrack is very psycho.
Okay, particularly the opening theme. I don't have it in my notes. I think I read that it was a deliberate quote from the opening theme of Psycho.
You know what? I didn't particularly notice the opening theme itself.
Okay.
I noticed it more when they were doing stuff in the morgue,
Okay, yeah.
and he's building the tension and just the string music coming
Yeah,
in.
well, that's pretty stock, though. I mean, it's not just like, oh, they all did that.
No. The way the strings were playing was very much like the opening credits
Okay.
of Psycho. That beat that it was going on, it was just very, very similar. And then, of course, there was a scene where one of the zombies, or yeah, I guess you'd call him a zombie,
Technically.
was attacking, and they pretty much did the shower scene music from Psycho while he was attacking.
Yeah, I remember that now, yeah.
So it was all, and you could tell it was just very deliberate. I mean, it wasn't a ripoff, it was, homage.
Speaking of homage, I didn't even really like the movie, and you have me saying that.
It's a great bit, though.
Reanimator is very, very loosely based on an H.P. Lovecraft story. And the medical school that he goes to in the States, it's Miskatonic Medical School in Arkham, Massachusetts. My first thought, of course, was it was a Batman reference.
Right.
No,
Not
that's where
so.
Lovecraft set it. He set a lot of his
Oh.
stories in Arkham, Massachusetts, which is a fictional town.
So in
So,
other words, Batman
Arkham
was
Asylum,
calling out Lovecraft.
yeah,
Gotcha.
that's a reference to Lovecraft. I never knew that. That's interesting.
Makes perfect sense. I should have read Lovecraft more. Very familiar with his work through playing Dungeons and Dragons as a
Yeah.
kid, but never actually read, a story of his.
I've been reading, meaning to read more. About a year or two ago, I read Call of Cthulhu, loved it. So I've been meaning to read more of his
That's the
stuff.
one based on a Cliff Burton guitar solo, right?
Ah, bass solo.
Of course.
Now, the acting in the movie, back to Reanimator, of course.
Yes.
Very interesting variety.
Right. And it works.
Oh, yeah, for
What
the
more
most
can you
part.
say? You have this dynamic of the two lovebirds who are pretty much soap opera
Yeah,
actors.
and she was horribly annoying. She reminded me of Cindy Morgan in Tron. He was just kind of there and mediocre, which worked because he was the straight man.
It was so weird because he just shriveled up, he was in shock. He didn't do anything.
Right.
You're expecting like him to be the leading man. All right, we're gonna do this, and instead he just fucking curls up in the fetal position. I can't think of a single movie where I've seen the leading guy ever do that.
Yeah.
Have you?
Well, he wasn't. You're talking about Dan, right?
Right.
He
He's,
wasn't really the leading man.
for all intents and purposes, in your traditional horror
Yeah,
movie,
he would be.
he is your leading man
Yeah.
who, gets it all together and yeah, we're gonna go at them and he gets Meg out of danger and stuff. But for most part, he's pretty much Eric Idle in the Holy Grail, where it's like, perhaps
Yeah.
we should run away more,
Yeah.
sire.
It's pretty much all he does, but he's the sidekick, if you really
Yeah.
think about it. He's Robin. He's the guy who really doesn't do anything, while the hero, West, sort of, has all the
Well,
action.
here's the big debate. Is West really the hero, or
Well,
is he
he's the
the
protagonist. That's why that word was invented.
villain? Is he the protagonist, or is he the antagonist?
Well, I would say at the end he becomes the protagonist.
Because all of these creatures
Are his fault.
are really his creation.
Yeah.
Yes, his work was stolen by John Carey, I think.
Yeah.
That's that.
Nice. And by the way, that actor, I can't think of his name offhand, Dr. Hill.
David Gale.
Okay. Is it just me or was he incredibly creepy?
He was fucking awesome. In fact, I kicked myself for not looking up more of what he'd done.
Ah.
He passed in 91. But yeah, it's just all soap opera actors.
But if he did, he played the part beautifully, but it was
Yeah.
even before he had to be, he was very, very creepy.
Man, I mean, he's Peter Cushing and Boris
Yeah,
Blofeld into one.
yes.
You really can't say
Mm-hmm.
much more positive about him. I really wished this movie had kept the serious tone that it was going with
See, I'm on the opposite end of that, but
before the end, where it just got silly.
just a quick side note before we get into that debate. Found out that for most of the movie, actually the entire movie, he was wearing a toupee. They made him shave his head and put a toupee on because they couldn't afford to match the hair on the prosthetic version of him. So when it became the prosthetic, he just took the piece off and put it on the wig, on the prosthetic.
But the reason why I'm saying that I wish they'd kept it straight was because between him and Combs, you've got some awesome
Oh
actors
yeah,
here.
that dynamic was beautiful because he was creepy and sort of understated, and Combs was just operatic.
Right. So I mean, you've got such great work here. You understand when when Bruce Campbell, when they go into the camp there with him.
Right.
But this, I mean, they had some great tools here. Now, true, you had the young couple who I mean, they are prototypical soap opera actor and actress. I don't even know if Bruce Abbott was a soap opera actor. I know Barbara Crampton was, though.
Well, she was a soap opera actor and a scream queen, so
Yes.
suffice it to say, her wardrobe toward the end of the movie, not a stretch.
Right.
Pretty common in her career.
Right.
So not much in the acting department there. And the other guy, the one who would have been the leading man, he wasn't bad, he wasn't good, he was just kind of there, which worked when you have Jeffrey Combs, going over the top. You don't want too much to distract from that. But what I was, go
That's
ahead.
what made the movie more compelling, was just that the dude who's supposed to be the leading man pretty much just curls up in the fetal position and just like, you're in shock. It's okay. You're just not expecting that. They're like, what? A normal and real reaction to the crazy shit that is going on in the film.
But I kind of wanted to see him go the opposite direction. I mean, it is kind of cheesy and B as it is,
Yeah.
but you can tell that's not what they were shooting for. I would have loved it if that's what they were shooting for. And they just embraced that.
I mean, the whole headless shtick at the end. It was amusing. I do admit it was amusing. It was just they had such good stuff here that they didn't need to go there, is what my problem is with it, which isn't a bad problem to have
Oh
in the end.
no, yeah. And there were just some other awkward moments that I think would have lent themselves to a deliberately bad movie. Like when they spent 10 minutes looking for the cat
Yeah.
and there was no suspense.
Right.
And the animatronic cat when they find it is just horribly bad. I mean, there's stuff at the in some of the reanimated corpse scenes and with the headless doctor at the end. Where, yeah, it's dated and it looks a little cheesy, but back then it was pretty good.
Oh
It
yeah,
was
back
believable.
then,
But the
I'm
cat
betting.
was never be would have never been believable.
No.
That was clearly like it was almost like okay, let's some like they molded something that was vaguely cat-like and put some fur on it. Another thing that I think was kind of out of nowhere and kind of again would have lent itself to deliberately bad was the fact that the animosity between Hill and West kind of was out of nowhere.
Yeah.
They just hated each other from the start for no reason.
Well, they reveal.
Well, yeah, he accuses
Oh.
him of stealing Gruber's work, but it blew up too quickly. Particularly in the
Well,
classroom scene where they had it out.
you kind of wonder why West would have gone to this university of all universities.
If he knew someone there was stealing his mentor's work.
Right. I mean, unless it was a plot of his to try to get back at him, but it doesn't seem that way. He was
No.
more interested in doing the work in the first
And he
place.
only had to kill him because he found out what he was doing and
Right.
blackmailed him.
I don't know. I think he actually needed to kill him, of course.
Well, in his mind. And that's another issue I had is, and this actually speaks more to what you would have liked to have seen. I would have liked to have seen a reason why West was insane.
Yeah.
You don't get a sense of what turned him.
Right. He just starts making questionable decisions. Actually, he's making questionable decisions all
Well,
along.
from the first scene.
Yeah. And
But
yeah.
there's no monologuing about how he was always, looked down on and has to prove himself, or no Napoleon syndrome, which would work perfectly with the character.
Right.
Or he was slighted in some way. There was no motivation given to the insanity.
Right. It's neat though that he's insane from the beginning, as he's there at least, and it's just this couple has to put it together that he's insane.
But also jumping straight into that stuff without a build up or an explanation did give it some great pacing.
Right.
That's one thing I have to say about this movie. The pacing was beautiful.
Right,
Aside
there's
from the 10 minutes looking for the cat, it doesn't slow down once.
Little exposition given, really.
Yeah.
It's you're tossed into it. I mean, the scene in the beginning, in Switzerland, the scene in the ER with the other doctor, with Bruce Abbott, and that's pretty much it. Then you get like a little bit between West and Hill about stealing information and whatnot. But yeah, that's it. That's all the exposition you're given. It's woven in to a lot there, really.
Which clearly shows that Gordon knew what he had. But he just didn't commit one way or the other.
And that's the other thing. I really do like Gordon's direction of this. There's a lot of subtlety he
Oh, yeah.
had. It wasn't, you weren't hit over the head with anything. There was just a scene where between Hill and West, where Hill is in control and everything, and it looks like he's going to take over, and just having West sit down
Yeah.
next to him, where so Hill looks like he's just looming over him, and he's just kind of shrunk down. Just the one subtle little movement.
I kind of got the feeling that was Combs' choice more than Gordon's at the time, though.
Nah, that would be a
You think
director.
so?
Yeah, that's definitely a director thing. Because think about it, you're looking at it through the finder. He had it
True,
perfectly
true.
framed for it. There's no way that was just an improv. That was intentional.
Well, I don't mean on the day. I mean that was maybe his choice. There was something about the way he did it that it felt very almost too specific to have been for him to have been told to do it. But then again, a
Nah.
lot of his performance is very specific, which is what was
Right.
brilliant about it.
Right, but that's definitely, a director's thing. I mean, sometimes an actor would be like, oh, is it you maybe I should sit down here or do something. But that you would when you're in a film, in that setting, you usually don't have as much of that, blocking questioning going on. It's just these are this, this is what the playwright did, or I'm sorry, the script writer wrote that in, so we're doing this. And usually it's a director who's like, why don't you sit down, playing that out.
You mentioned blocking, bit of
Yeah.
trivia. Originally, Gordon was going to adapt Lovecraft's story for the stage. This actually started
Yes.
off as a play.
Right.
Eventually deciding to, along with writers Dennis Pauly and William Norris, to do a half-hour television pilot. So it's and then eventually the producer stepped in and they got a movie deal.
Well, that's the thing with Gordon. He was very much a theater person. Graduated from Lane Tech High School, which is like right down the road from me, actually, here. And his first movie was actually called Bleacher Bums, which was just something that his he kind of had a comedy troupe do. And of course, it's about Wrigley, which is, like a mile from that. So, yeah, that was 79. This is 85, and this is his first, real movie. You gotta say, wow.
Yeah, true. But the fact that the blocking issue, I think because it was originally planned for the stage, maybe there was some more thought put into blocking than a
Definitely.
typical movie.
Definitely. That's just, I think that hits the nail right on the head there. You think about it so much more in a stage direction. The blocking is so crucial. I mean, worked on some where blocking was just, it took weeks to get every movement just hammered out. Of course, I've also been on some where it was pretty much just do whatever feels right.
Right, yeah. think we worked on a couple of those together.
I'll tell you if it wasn't good or if I got an idea. Just, you know. Thanks.
Incidentally, producer Brian Yunza, I'm guessing on that pronunciation, described the film as having the sort of shock sensibility of an Evil Dead with the production values of hopefully The Howling.
Well, really, it has all the tension and suspense of Hitchcock with just loads more of the gore and, of course, the nudity.
I would say the production value is maybe a little better. Well, actually, maybe not production. The performances, maybe that comes down to. I just got a kick out of the production values of hopefully The Howling.
Right. Well, you know, I'd say The Howling is pretty close. Yeah, because there were, you know, some questionable scenes there. And I think I learned something about myself while watching this movie, speaking of the nudity.
Okay. Oh.
I would be much more comfortable if a zombie were attacking me, you know, if he were clothed.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, really, I don't think I'd be frightened at all, you know, blood, guts, whatever. But he's got to keep his package away.
Warning to those who may be uncomfortable with it, there is, well, as we've alluded, quite a bit of nudity and quite a bit of male nudity.
Right. And I don't know. That's just how I feel about that.
Incidentally, the first case of the male nudity, the bodybuilder, was Arnold Schwarzenegger's body double.
No kidding.
Yeah, I'm guessing for probably Terminator.
Probably turn right like a year before this. I know you had a body double of that.
But you said, I'm just guessing for that role, because that's,
Yeah.
the only one around that time that I can think of
Well, right.
that he would need one for.
Yeah.
So, I think we're getting on to the point where the movie gets a bit silly.
Yes, it is in need of the Graham Chapman.
He has to kill Hill because he's onto him and blackmails him. Takes his head off with a shovel.
Right.
And then reanimates his head and body separately. Why?
Yeah. Not quite sure.
As cheesy as it was, it made sense up until that point.
Because he said that he'd never done separate,
Oh, right. He had to, wanted to test his abilities.
which is, of course, he already had, if you think about it, because what else are you doing when you're looking at it in a petri dish?
Oh, yeah, true. And I'm sure, early tests, he probably had, at a medical school, spare body parts that he could have worked with.
Right.
So, I think that was just an excuse for the gag of the head walking around with a head.
Right. And of course,
And.
I love it that it's on, like, what was that? The paper. I cannot, for the life of me, cannot remember what those are called. When you have, like, the sharp point sticking up from the paper that you put the papers on.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about, the paper holder. Yeah, I can't think of what it's
Yes.
called.
That he used that to
To
balance the
mount the
head.
head. Yeah. Even though that would have fallen back with the weight of the head, but I'm not nitpicking. Okay, I'm gonna nitpick
Are you giving up nitpicking for the next year of Zombie
little. I didn't think this one was worth nitpicking because it's, B grade horror and you just kind of throw all that out. But okay. How does the dismembered body take orders from the disembodied head?
Right, they're drawing some sort of thing where they're still in contact with each other
Well,
somehow.
that's the thing is, this is pretty much just, at least in what it aspires to be, straight up sci-fi.
Right.
So there's no mystical element. It's all the serum.
Right.
The body can't hear without the head.
Well, he wouldn't even tell it to do something, you know? He would never give it a verbal order. It just knew what he wanted to do
Oh,
somehow because they're somehow linked, if you
I thought he
noticed.
ordered it around a couple of times. At least once I remember him giving it orders, because that's when I thought of that. Also, okay, the head needs oxygen and, presumably food
Right.
to continue living.
Yes.
If it's disconnected from the body, how?
It goes back to the same point of if your heart is dead and
Yeah.
is not pumping,
Right.
but someone revives your brain, you're still gonna have a heart that isn't pumping. It's
Yeah.
like if your car's transmission goes and someone goes and fixes the fuel line or whatever.
Although, shortly after he dismembered the head, he gave it some fresh blood.
Right.
And if that blood was sufficiently oxygenated and energetic, it could work for a while. But you'd have to constantly change out the blood.
Well, yeah, that's what they were doing, actually.
Were they? Okay.
Yeah, if you notice that they kept, pouring
Okay, I didn't
the
catch
blood
that.
packets in the pan with
All
it.
right. Now, of course, the disembodied head decides to get its revenge on the guy who killed it.
So it's really funny that they throw all science out the window except for this
With
one detail.
the
You're kind of like, oh, that you're sticking with.
yeah. And he kidnaps the girlfriend, because Hill had kind of had his eye on her when he was alive.
Right, which finally explains what he had with Kane.
Right.
Because you're kind of like, well, why is he? And then once they reveal that, yeah, that makes sense.
And we have what effectively was yet another rape joke.
We did, didn't we?
Yeah, but Kane, or Hill's body is holding Hill's head over her body, and
Are
he's
you saying
enjoying
this is
himself. And
the
it was
third chapter of a trilogy of rape?
perhaps I hadn't thought about that. And they were very much playing it for comedy.
Yes.
Particularly when he puts the head between starts to put his head between her legs, and then West bursts in. Was it West or Dan who burst in at that point?
I
I think
think it
it
was
was
Dan.
West. Oh, okay, either one of them. One of them bursts in and stops him.
Oh, you're right, because that's the opening line of the show.
Yes, the tryst with the co-ed, yes.
Yes. And of course, the answer to that is what else would you do
Oh.
if you're revived?
Of course, the big fight ensues, and the, as you put it, lack of personal space when we were talking about titles. Lots of naked zombies.
Oh, it was Zombie Zardoz, wasn't it? Maybe that's our title.
Very much so, yes. But it had one of the, again, completely irrational but most interesting moments of the movie. He finally starts, he basically all but kills Hill's body.
Right.
And then somehow his intestine shoots out like a snake. I don't know why, but that scene cracked me up.
Yeah, and the missing seed refers to that.
Oh, okay. I didn't see the missing scene.
Yeah, this is the, it's not a, so much an alternative ending as it's the actual ending of the film.
Ah. Okay, because, well, okay, if we're going to that, just a bit, a few notes here before we go to the ending.
Yeah.
The zombie that tried to stop them in the elevator, Dan and the girlfriend, looked a lot like Toxie. I enjoyed
Which
that.
I also think that's where they did the psycho theme for the shower when he comes into the elevator. I
Right.
think that's what it
Okay.
was.
Now, the ending, as I saw it, the actual ending of the movie,
Right.
she gets injected, fade to black, you hear a scream.
Right.
She had been killed.
Right.
I kind of liked that ending. It was very open and very open. West supposedly died, although in hindsight we know there's two sequels, so he didn't.
I agree. That is the better of what they did. I think
What was the alternative ending?
he injects her. She comes back to life, but it doesn't hold.
Ah.
Like she winds up dying. West comes back in, and they pretty much acknowledge that, it's time to let her go.
Okay, so it confirmed that Wes had survived.
And of course, the joke was that, you're alive. And West responds, yeah, he didn't have the guts.
I'm torn on that one. I kind of like it given the context and the general vibe of the movie.
I'm just sitting here because the production of it is terrible. It's like, I mean, it's not finished at all. It's
Well,
just.
they probably realized before they did post on it that it wasn't going in.
Right. It's just a very rough shot of it. So the quality of it was terrible. But, I mean, at first I was kind of like, is this just like a fan did this or something? And then I realized, no, this is really them. He didn't have the
The guts.
guts. And that's the reference to him getting strangled
Oh,
by.
yeah, by the
Yeah.
intestine snake.
You get it. You see what they did there? Yeah.
It's usually a bit beneath my sense of humor, but given the tone of the movie, I think I kind of like it. But I also like the ending as is.
Yeah, I think the
So,
ending as is much better.
yeah. So on to sequels and remakes.
Yeah.
Now, Reanimator was of course followed by Bride of Reanimator in 90 and Beyond Reanimator in 2003. Both sequels were preceded by another film based upon an H.P. Lovecraft story from Beyond, though this film is an unrelated story to Reanimator, also directed by Gordon and starred Jeffrey Combs and Barbara Crampton. Gordon has been quoted on several occasions expressing a desire to make a fourth installment of the series, entitled House of Reanimator. This film would, he claims, be a political satire in which West moves into the White House during the George W. Bush years and reanimates the deceased vice president, played by George Wendt. This film is also supposed to star Academy Award-winning nominee William H. Macy.
My God, that's hilarious.
I desperately want this film made. Unfortunately, in a Q&A session at the Music Box Massacre, an annual 24-hour horror festival in Chicago,
Yes, I'm very familiar with it.
Gordon announced that he has abandoned plans for the long-awaited sequel. He said that after the departure of George Bush from the White House, he sees no reason to make it.
Yeah.
In the book Lurker in the Lobby, Guide to the Cinema of H.P. Lovecraft, producer-director Brian Yuns have mentioned an alternate idea that he had for a fourth Reanimator. This version would have been titled Isle of Reanimator and would have been based on Wells' Island of Dr. Moreau. That could be interesting, but you don't need Bush in the White House to do House of Reanimator.
Yeah.
Political satire is timeless. It works no matter who's in there. And I want to see a fucking Reanimator movie with Macy and
Yes.
George Wendt.
George Wendt. George Wendt is Dick Cheney. Sounds awesome.
Yes,
You
and
can't beat that.
that could be the perfect movie.
It could be. It must be done.
Yes,
There's no
yes.
question about it.
Oh God. We need to start a Kickstarter and send whatever we make to Gordon to do this. Now, as far as remakes, I obviously we're a little divided on that. I would love to see a Troma version. Just full on, knows what it is, campy as fuck, overdo the nudity and the gore even more than they did,
That's not
and
easy.
have a blast with it.
All I know is Alan Rickman has to play Hans Gruber.
Of course.
Yeah.
All right, so on to Brains.
On the brains, because I mean, there really isn't much sense for a remake out of this.
No,
I
I
mean,
would, like I said, I just wanted to see it go further. You wanted to see more serious, I wanted to see more campy, so I just mentioned that. Brains, even though I had my issues with it, I had a blast with this movie. It was a B that kind of knew what it was. It fell off a little bit here and there, but I'm going to have to go 4.
Yeah, I mean, I was even flirting with going higher than 4, but I'll land on 4.5. I
All right.
think if it wasn't as goofy, I think they really were onto the perfect movie. But as is, it is fantastic. So yeah, 4.5.
All right, so what did we learn?
Well, I've already told you what I've learned, that if you want to attack me, please, for the love of God, keep your clothes on. If you want to creep me out,
Do the opposite.
yeah.
And I learned that intestines have more muscle than I thought they did.
That's a gutsy call.
So, until next week when we will be reviewing Spirited Away, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus, links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. It would help us, go up in the ratings and get more listeners. We'd really appreciate it.
A really funny thing, visiting New Jersey, so many old friends I've seen, I've reunited with, and a bunch of them were telling me that they're regular listeners.
Really?
Yes, that they've listened to many episodes.
They should comment.
You would think.
And maybe, so since they actually know us, maybe throw us a review and a rating on iTunes.
You think?
The people who don't know us and just listen to the show, I can understand. I don't do it a lot for
Right.
podcasts I listen to. But
Right.
if you know us, please, come on.
I know.
But
I
it's good to know that they listen.
know. Yes. Yes, they do.
And they could also, in addition to commenting on the Facebook page or on the website, they could also leave us an email at zombietakeout@gmail.com or a voicemail at 414-368-ZT01 or for the alphanumerically challenged, 414-368-9861. Of course, always remember that you will always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee.
What a country.
All right, until next week, always remember and never forget, wherever you go in life, there
There
you
you are.
are.
It's not insane. He's dead.
No. You're insane. You're insane.
You know it's true, Meg.
They did there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Side note, I'm going to cut this. What do you think about that for a title?
What's that?
He didn't have the guts for a title for the episode.
I don't know. We've got so many good ones. What do you think about Zombie Zardoz?
Not crazy about that one.
Okay.
But I like he didn't have the guts. Because, nobody's going to know what it's about until. And I wasn't really crazy about it. I ain't got nobody.
Okay.
And.
Yeah, I guess that's better. He didn't have the guts.
Okay, so yeah, like I said, I'm torn on that line. It